Welcome to the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Abbott, and I'm honored to have you here. This is the place where we talk about things that echo eternity and encourage everyone. Whether you're looking for powerful strategies to grow on your personal journey or the best tips to flourish in every area of your life, you're in the right spot. Let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Echo and Encourage podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Abbott, and today we have Dr. Linda Jackson. Dr. Linda Jackson has many credentials, DNP, PMHNP, FNP. This stands for Doctor of Nursing Practice, Psychiatric Mental Health Nurse Practitioner, and Family Nurse Practitioner. Dr. Linda is a professor of psychiatric nurse practitioner students at the university level. She's an entrepreneur, a humanitarian, and a co-author. It is an honor to have you here today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Dr. Jackson, it's an honor. Would you please share with us how you became such an integral part in the psychiatric nurse practitioner field?
Since I was young, I have taken interest in counseling, encouraging, talking with people to see how I could help them psychologically or help them with whatever the need is. So that prompted me to have my first degree in guidance and counseling, my first degree. So because this is the tool where you are told or you're coached or trained on how to talk to young people, adults, give counseling and all that. So I found it in me. Then I went through that training in my first degree, came to the United States, and then pursued my education because that degree based on education, like teaching. So I started teaching as a teacher in the Unified Los Angeles School Unified District, and I did that. I taught there, and then I went into nursing school. By the time I finished nursing school, I started as a nurse in another field, like medical, surgical nurse, and all types of departments that I served. I served in DOB and telehealth, med-surg, you know, minor surgery. But I hadn't felt very well, because I knew I really love to talk to people. So I went further, obtaining my master's degree in nursing administration. And from there, I went into I went into family nurse practitioner. But in the middle of that, I learned about psychiatry, nurse practice. I'm like, wow. What do I do? Drop off this family thing or move over? But then I decided to finish my FNP. So I got that degree as a family nurse practitioner, and immediately I went into psychiatric nurse practice. Then from there I finished. I obtained my doctorate degree as well, doing the learning the psychiatric route in helping people. So I really now found my bearing. I found my calling by being a psychiatric nurse practitioner at this time. And it's been very rewarding to me, to my clients or my patients that I serve. I go to bed very happy because I've actually hit my dream. Yes, that also interests you to know that I became a professor with the school, Charles Drew University of Science and Medicine. I first of all taught there as a, I taught there the, what do the family nurse practice students for a number of years. And I went over when, once they called me over to assist with the psychiatric department for nursing students that wants to be psychiatric, you know, nurse practitioner. So now that's where I'm serving till date as a lead professor in the nursing school there for students that are doing psychiatric nursing practice.
This is phenomenal. You have so much wisdom to share and your story is inspiring. What type of disorders do you find people coming to you for help with most in your practice?
Most importantly, I see all medical psychiatric conditions across the board, starting from anxiety, patients with anxiety, patient with depression, patient with bipolar, patient with schizophrenia, patient with borderline, drug and alcohol abusers, or people who want to get away from medications like addictive medications, like prescription addictive medications in the family of benzodiazepines and other types of addiction. So I help with therapy as well as medication management altogether. So everything across the board that come my way, children with ADHD, adults with ADHD, ODD, all types of things, autistic children and all that. And all that. So I haven't seen anything that keeps me, you know, makes me feel uncomfortable in the management of patients that have emotional psychiatric situation. And at the end of the day, it's all a win-win for all of us, both the patients and me.
This is beautiful that you're able to work with such a wide variety of people that are searching for breakthroughs. I wanted to ask you a question that's come across a bit in my time. I have family and myself have ADHD, attention deficit hyperactive disorder. I've come across people that have faith. They love God very much, and they say that they believe that he will help them get through their ADHD and that they don't want medication, even though their lifestyle is affecting the people in their life negatively, where medication most likely would provide breakthroughs. How would you speak to someone who has a religious or faith background that is preventing them from getting medical help to treat ADHD or some other type of mental health issue?
Okay, so I come across such patients that believe that God will heal them of any type of emotional situation or emotional condition or even ADHD. Well, when they come, I tell them, I said, we don't push for medication. I, for one, I don't push medication on patients. I allow them choices and I give them recommendation and I follow whatever that is their decision for their well-being. I'm just a servant. I help them get through comfortably whatever they want. Now, for patients that believe that they have ADHD condition, even though they've been screened using adult ADHD screening tools, and they found that they are positive to either inattentiveness or hyperactivity or both. If that becomes the case, and I said, this is your testament about yourself. You screened yourself to see that this is you're positive to such condition. And I would say there are many ways to treat this. I would say we have medication medium to treat it, whether you want to do non-stimulant or stimulant medication, or you want to do therapy. So when I give them those choices, then I explain more. But they will also say, oh, well, I do therapy first. And I always tell them, yes, therapy is good, either or even both, either therapy by single-handedly or medication single-handedly or both combined. I say they help. But remember that sometimes their therapy comes slow, but medication helps you more in the way that you will feel better quickly to keep up with whatever, you know, thing that you have to do. Because if you have such a hardship, you need more intervention. And I said, no, I believe in what you believe. Your faith stands superior. But nonetheless, you are not saying also that the wisdom given to professionals like us is not from God to treat. The medication that came out of the wisdom God has given to people to produce is not from God. So if you don't distinguish yourself that people taking medication is not faithful, it's not having the faith. But remember to know when your body is, when your mind is telling you something, or when God is actually telling you something. If God is going to heal you, he would have healed you. Than making your life go into so much hardship, so much challenging, you're struggling day by day. If God would have healed you, he would have healed you before now. So that tells you God will also want you to seek for the alternative. That doesn't mean that you are sinning. That doesn't mean that you have gone against God's commandment, or you are going against God's will, or you don't have faith. But he has put everything in position to say, make the choice. The choice, whatever good choice you make, is the choice he will bless you with. So make the good choice. If you think you're struggling and you've done everything over these years, maybe you may try something different in order to get a different answer. So I encourage them, and I leave them with the thought. Go think, because we are here, we are doing God's will too. All right? So, and then come back and tell me what you decide to do in the next 2 weeks or in the next 1 month, and then I will serve you there.
That is so powerful. Thank you for sharing that wisdom and insight. Your perspective, I believe, will help others see the truth, and all truth is God's truth, and the breakthroughs that will be birthed from the beautiful things that you share is powerful. Thank you. I have a lot of friends who are nurses, and I know that at least observing and collaborating with nurses when I was a medical speech-language pathologist. Currently, I'm a school speech-language pathologist, but I saw nurses have quite a few patients all at once. I know you've talked about how you have such a high job satisfaction and you go to bed really happy at night. What would you say to some nurses who may be considering furthering their education to become more specialized, and to maybe consider going deeper into maybe becoming a doctor of nurse practitioner?
Thank you very much. I love schooling. I love education. I love knowledge. And if I like it and I'm working towards that, I cannot tell you I've achieved the highest goal that I set for myself in terms of acquiring more knowledge. I encourage everyone, nurses, you know, you got to be diversified. You got to go for more knowledge so you'll be good and you can serve your community well. I noticed some nurses feel, oh, now I have become a nurse practitioner. Oh, no, no. I have become a registered nurse and I'm done. No, you're not done, because you can serve your patient in a higher capacity. You owe them a more knowledge. You owe them to serve them in a higher capacity of treatment, that they will be more comfortable and you will be more satisfied. I encourage you, be where you are now may not be very sufficient. You need to be able to be highly educated in clinical practice, so you have the wealth of knowledge to help your patient, teach them, educate them, and talk to them in the manner that they know that you have the knowledge and you have been trained to help them, and they will grow so much confidence in you. But when we are in the level where you think you are now, and you know some questions patient asks, you may not be able to really have the knowledge to respond to them and guide them well, they may quickly look other way or to any other person that will help them. I will encourage you, move on, because there are so many needs out there for you to help patients. We have medical doctors. They cannot do it all by themselves. They need people like us coming up higher in knowledge to be able to support this multitude community population that need our help, both in medical and both in psychiatry. I encourage you, there's so much need, there's so much help needed from you. So come along.
I love your perspective on that, that it's not just about having your own job satisfaction, but it's out of a heart of servanthood and how can you help other people at a deeper level. That shows so much beautiful perspective on how you see the world, how you see people. I know that you've mentioned that you are a humanitarian. Do you see that coming out most in your practice, or are you also involved in being a humanitarian outside of your practice?
Both are involved in what I do. So I believe that my practice or my serving to the community is a way of my service to God. Therefore, if it has to be that I give monetary gift to patients that have hardship, food, all types of gifts that are within my supply, I give. Those within the practice, patients, clients, because to me, it is my service to God. To me, it is my tithe and offering to God, because I have some good instances that I can share here that, you know, blows my mind. You know, one of the patients that I visited in their homes, as I was about to leave, my mind or the spirit of my mind told me to give him some money. And I did. I went back and I say, take this. I don't know, it may go a long way, it may go a shorter way, but take. He started crying. He said, how do I know that he had nothing. He had no money to even buy the next meal. And I said, I don't know. God just maybe touched my heart. And I got into my car and I have to come out. And good thing I found money in my glove compartment. And that's one. Another one was the same family had no money to even eat the next meal after I paid them the visit. I said, take. And the whole family started screaming and crying. Wow. And they said that I'm the angel God sent to them. And I tell you, to compliment it all, few days after those events, I had a dream. And I'm a Christian and I believe in Christ. I saw Christ in my dream, and he said, and I said, why is he smiling at me? And then somebody said to my hearing, you touched God's heart. And I say, how? He said, because you helped the poor and you helped the hunger. And then my mind was casted to that man and that family. He said, you touched God's heart by giving the gift to. I woke up, I like, somebody was speaking to me, and that has been forever what I do. Whether I meet them in my practice, I go for once I get the inspiration. Or outside my practice, huge. In my community, we've helped patients or people who were who couldn't pay their rent. We give money for them to clear their rent debt, and one family got thrown out, and I send money. People who have stroke, we send money for their treatment, for their medications across the United States. People who start business for old elderly people, widows, you know, orphans, just as long as it comes across to my hearing and I'm so convinced and I move, it's so rewarding. I mean, sometimes I'm like, somebody said, why are you like this? I said, I don't know, but I share the little that I have because my ministration is unto the people and it gives me the satisfaction, and I'm so happy that I have some resources to keep helping the poor, wherever they are, in here and out there. So my practice is my ministration as well. I'm sorry.
Amen. I am tearing up. That touched my heart to hear your testimony and the way you're so obedient to when you hear the Holy Spirit impress upon your heart to bless someone. It's going back to the scripture that talks about the generous will prosper, and that he who or she who refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. And your obedience has touched lives physically, and then spiritually. I'm thinking back into the Bible, how Jesus met the physical needs of people and their mental health needs first, and then they were more receptive to what he had to say spiritually. And you are a living vessel of this, how you physically minister to so many patients, and then you give them food and drink, and you listen. It goes so far. I remember as a little girl, one time my family needed some money. My dad is a pastor, and things were tight at one point. And somebody came to the front door and came with an amount of money that was exactly what my parents needed. And my parents rejoiced, and they said, you know, why are you here? What is this for? And the person said, God told me to give you this money and this amount. And so when we're obedient and we listen to God, even when it comes down to the amount or the timing, it just makes our faith stronger, because we're then confirmed to, and we've realized that was Holy Spirit speaking. And I think that you do this because you are being obedient to him, which is such a beautiful thing to see. And the way that you're witnessing to the employees in your practice and your family and your patients by living out this generosity will change generations and is so beautiful. I am so touched. Thank you for sharing those stories and for being a witness in these wonderful ways. May God keep your ministry and your practice flourishing, your cup overflowing so that you can keep being this vessel. This is wonderful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Dr. Jackson, you're also a co-author. Is that right?
Yes.
Would you share about that? What is this that you are co-author of?
This is a book from our association. I belong to, actually, I'm a founder and the president of an association called Distinguished Personality Association. So this is an association of elite, talented people, entrepreneurs, professionals across all disciplines, across all walks of life, very knowledgeable set of people. So we gather together since 2018, and we've been doing diverse great things. So, and I've been the president since the onset because the vision was given to me. So, and we've been having great times, and we have goals, we have purpose. We believe in helping ourselves, supporting each other, connecting each other from one, you know, business contacts to another, building each other up, because majority of us have businesses and they're entrepreneurs, very, very, you know, successful. And then from there, we decided that we still have to touch the community, and we did. We have a community outing that we do. We support Susan Coleman, the cancer research community. So we are of our association, you know, have engaged with that, raising money for that foundation to find a cure for breast cancer, all types of cancers. So we are that's one of the things we do. And another thing we believe we do is we are doing is we have another wing of our association is the youth. We invest in the youth leadership. So our children and all the, you know, members' children come together to form a youth association as well. The youth, we call it DPYC. So there, these youth have to, they come together, they do things, and they help the community as well. So we are growing this set of children up in order to take up leadership and guide them in a great way so that they are not misled and they are focused. Then another thing our project was to publish a book. Like we said, that book's name is called Struggles and Successes, A Memoir of the Distinguished. So this came, you know, from one of our members to say, I think the way our organization is going, very focused, why not let us write a book about how we came here? So the association membership decided to write this book where we gather all our experiences of how we came to America and the struggles we faced, the challenges we faced, and how we succeeded or we continue to succeed. So how we got here. So we decided to pull those experiences together. My experience, your experience, we bind it up in one book. And that will be able to reach out to any community or any population as a testament to say, we are immigrants, we came here and we struggled, we contributed to the society growth, and this is where we are. So that children that we have, friends and families, immigrants everywhere, you can go to a country and be the best for that country and contribute to that country. Even though the beginning may not be easy, There are so many, struggles and challenges and struggles you may have over a long period of time, many years. It wouldn't make you go to a wrong direction. It will help you to keep focused, and with time, you will survive, you will succeed, you will earn living, and you will contribute to the progress of that community. And that is why we decided to do this book that is, you know, brought out of all the experiences that each one of us has to tell the rest of the people, hey, if we succeeded here and we are being very patriotic and we are serving and paying our taxes and being loyal to this, to the country, you can do the same. It's not out of place. You can still succeed in a foreign land. So that is our book.
This is powerful. That is so incredible that you're able to found this and co-author this and create this resource to inspire people and generations to have this perspective of resilience, which is so inspiring. What different cultures have you found that have become a part of the Distinguished Personality Association or the DPYC?
We have African descent, you know, people across the world, as long as if you have interest, if you have African in you, we want to make sure that you are, for the purpose why you're here, you're bringing success, you're bringing good testimony. So we have people from Nigeria, people from Ghana, people from Caribbean, from Jamaica, from other countries, you know, that want to associate with us. Even also, either you're married to somebody that is an African, or you can come in and join us. So yeah, these are multiple people across African nation that majority of who we have in our as membership as of right now.
How do people get to be a part of this?
Okay, so first of all, you will have to, if you have any, you know, if you come from Africa or African descent or by marriage or by loving what we do, you want to join, and you're also going to be somebody who earns a living, you know, who have means of livelihood, because that's also what we encourage, professionalism. We encourage, you know, that you must be that responsible to be somebody who contributes to the society, to your family and to the society. So, if you have those, and your people, somebody who want to grow in knowledge, grow in, you know, in learning from other people, you have a mind, the minds are alike, you will be welcome.
How do people apply? Is this in person or online?
Normally, we have our meetings every other month, and somebody has to invite you. Somebody has to invite you to come and observe our meeting. And once you come in, you observe us and we observe you, your conduct. We are very strong in people's conduct and behavior. You know, people who are not cantankerous, who don't want to cause trouble, who are focused, who are not investing in time wasting, in gossip. We don't do all that. We don't want people like that. So we notice if you have good character, and the membership will ask questions, will want to know you more, and then we vote. They vote whether they will accept you as a member or don't. So if you have 100% vote, that people trust you, that you can blend with us, and you have the same goal, then we will get you in. But if not, no, if one person turns the vote down, then sorry, you will not be let in. Unfortunately, so many people have been turned down because the conduct and character and testimony about them is not becoming of our association. So they could not come in.
That is very wise. I know that it's a blessing to have boundaries and a safe space, and that we become the average of the people that we associate with and hang out with. So it's very important to have that special covering that you're speaking about. And where do people buy this book, Struggles and Successes, A Memoir of the Distinguished?
It's yet to be launched.
Ooh, okay. So it will be launched.
I can tell you. So it's been dated to be launched on October 25th, 2025. So we are still working it. It's been copyrighted. So we have the certificate for the copyright. So we are now working with the print and the editing and all that. So that's where we are. So yeah, it will be sold on Amazon and other areas. And we can launch it. People can come and help us.
This is wonderful. What a wonderful book to come out in 2025. I'm sure there are many eager people that are excited to read this. So congratulations on the progress of your book launch. This is very exciting. Will this be the first book that you are a co-author of?
Yes, this is the first book. So yes. I'm hoping possibly to get on mine.
Yes. Are you going to have a book launch party?
In the future, I hope so, once I get mine going, yes.
Yes, that is so, so delightful. That's a future goal for me as I work through my outline of my book. Dr. Jackson, what else would you like to share with our listeners today? Anything that we touched upon, would you like to go deeper in, or is there anything on your heart that you would like to share?
Yeah, thank you very much for that opportunity. I just want to use this time to say, I know we didn't talk about family, but I have a wonderful family that I want to, you know, thank for the opportunity they gave me to grow. I have 4 children and a great, wonderful husband who have supported me and said that I could fly, I could touch the sky. And with his help, his Dr. Jones Obizu, with his help, I'll find my dream. I'll find my goal. And he has been very supportive. So he's the one that said that I am smart, but I thought I wasn't. But he said, no, you are. And since then, he has pushed me. He has helped me. He has encouraged me. And I've gone to this extent in my life. He has been solidly behind me. And then my children, all of them, very, very supportive. And they said that I'm smart, I'm great, and they're looking up to me. And they are succeeding in their different ways. My Fiona Obizu, medical student, 4th year at UCLA, Praise Obizu. He's finishing his law at Laverne University. Wisdom Obizu, he has just finished his first degree in San Jose University. And then my 4th daughter, Faith Obizu, doing his first year in nursing. So they are all in school. They're all thriving. They want to be great. And we support each other. That's one. Another thing I want to say is to you, my host, thank you very much, Miss Anna. And since I found you, I noticed you, I have always loved to see you and talk with you. We talk very, very deeply. And your friendship is it gives me peace of mind. It makes me smile. And one thing I learned about you is the fact that it doesn't matter what you're going through, you have that smile on your face that nobody takes away from you. It's golden. It's highly treasurable. I don't know. Each time I've seen you for many years, it's still the same demeanor. It's still the same, great outlook. Doesn't matter what it is that we are sharing. You can't let this smile elude you. You can't let anything take away your joy. And I think it's divine. It is not something money has given you, wealth, or whatever has given you. It is just great, great personality. And I say, keep it up. Keep it up. And I want to say something to the audience. It doesn't matter the level where you are. You can be someone. You can be somebody. You can thrive. Forget the age. Look at the time. What is it today? What are you doing now? Don't say I'm old. Don't say I'm weak. Don't say I'm sick. You can be anywhere and be anything. Keep your mind open and be more, show gratitude every day about people you meet. You can succeed. If you are thinking about going to school or not going to school, taking one class or taking one certification course, go do it. That's what makes you marketable. That's what makes you different. That's what gives you the hope and joy for future. That's what keeps you in job. It keeps you in business. When you have more knowledge, more certification, that's what makes you grow. It keeps you ahead of others. I am telling you out of experience, and I'm still studying, looking into different things to do. You're not going to stop, because all this makes the spice of life. Things you touch, things you do here or there, that is the spice of life. Otherwise, life will be very boring if you're just doing work, just work, work, work. It will be very, very boring. So do things that are exciting so you expect tomorrow. So that you can expect tomorrow because you have a goal. But if you do one singular thing only, time in, time out, and I ask you, don't be weary. Don't faint. Keep going. But I'm just saying and encouraging the rest of our listeners or our guests to say, move on. 2025 is your year. You got to shift your purpose. You got to drive higher. When you're doing only one singular thing, you will be bored with it. And you will feel, you will say, I'm tired. You will tire out faster. Reach out to new goals. Go to school. Take a new class. Take a new certification class. Take a cooking class. Take an art class. Take anything. Take a language class. Learn Spanish. Do something different. So you will spice up your life. Visit friends. Visit families. Because all these are spice of life that makes your life meaningful, and you'll be looking out for tomorrow. go to the hospital, visit people, you know, just do something to reach out to people outside of yourself. And with that, you will have greater joy and you'll be expecting to see the next day because of the purpose, because of things you got to accomplish, because of meeting people. And at the end of the day, your life will be so much enriched, so much reached that you will feel you're fulfilling your purpose for being alive, and you'll be very successful. So I will say to you, thank you for taking the time to listen to us.
Yes. Thank you for those precious words. When you mentioned your husband and how he's spoken words of life to you and called you smart, even at a time where you might not have thought you were, wow, that just shows the people that you spend time with, what they speak into you, and you believe you can flourish. And so I hope that everyone listening chooses a loving partner that speaks life into them, and that we can learn from Dr. Jackson and speak life into ourselves. I'm so proud of your children. Their names are so lovely, what you named them and how that is blessing their life. Names are so meaningful and they're flourishing. So congratulations to your family and how you have prioritized loving each other and loving learning, and how that has created such a rich environment for you. Thank you for your kind words to me. Again, I teared up. Your words touched my heart, and thank you for your encouragement and affirming. Thank you for affirming our listeners and for challenging them to go deeper in their understanding of academics and their vocations, careers, who they are as a person, and in their character development. We can all grow in what you're sharing. What is one way we can echo eternity or encourage others?
One way, I believe, is having your personal relationship with God. That's how to echo eternity. Knowing who you serve. It's not something somebody indoctrinated you to believe in. Who do you believe for your own self? It's not hypnotism. It's not brainwashing. It's about you and your personal relationship with God. And knowing that your minds and hearts are clear at all times, praying, communicating to God, whether you're driving, whether you're eating, whether you're watching TV, whatever, whether you're just quiet. Keep your mind with God and let Him know every move you make. So that at the end of the day, you know there is God overseeing your affairs. And you're bound to be with Him if anything happens, because you've been with Him, because you communicate and talk with Him in your heart at all times. So yeah, I believe that's all.
Thank you. That is so beautiful. I agree with you. How can our listeners connect with you?
I have an email, which you can publish. I have a phone number, which you can also put out there. With that, I can talk to them. You can give them my office number and they can call, and they need me to call them back, then we can connect. How else?
And to be on the lookout for your book that publishes on Amazon, they can do that too. Yes.
They can do that too, yes, because that book is very, very rich. It tells you in practical terms how people have survived and succeeded in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
And they become patriotic, adding, you know, giving their time and life and earning from the community, from the country that has harbored them, how they are paying in good return to appreciate the country that have, you know, harbored them and giving them the opportunity. So please, and that book will be good for your children. If foreigners will come here and survive, why won't you that possibly were born here? Our children, our friends, immigrants, people who feel, even though you were born here, does not entitle you to succeed. It doesn't shoot you to success. You still have to read the book. So you know, you got to have the skill, you got to get some ideas how other people, you know, survived in this country, and you will pick up. And know you're born here, you have greater opportunity, so you don't have to lose it. So it will be an encouragement. If other people succeeded, why wouldn't I? Why did I not? And then you will pick up from that book the lives of experiences of other people. Please look out for the book. We will give you the link once the book comes out, and you can order through Amazon. I will be on the show again if the host says so.
Yes, please. It would be an absolute honor. And listeners, please send in your questions, comment them on the YouTube version or the YouTube Shorts or IG Reels that will come out. Any questions, follow-up questions that you have for Dr. Jackson that you would like us to cover in an upcoming episode with her? She is such an inspirational woman of God, so gifted. It's been such an honor to have you here today, Dr. Jackson. And thank you to everyone who has listened. We will catch you next time.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day and God bless. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining me today on the Echo and Encourage podcast. I hope this inspired you and gave you a fresh perspective. If you loved today's episode, hit that subscribe button, rate, and leave a review. Your support helps us encourage more people. Connect with us on social media or visit our website for more resources to help you live your best life. See you next time.